Welcome to the Smoke and Rope Podcast, the show that brings together Michigan's top cannabis growers, advocates, and business owners to offer a fresh and honest perspective of Michigan's cannabis industry. Stick with us to get the lowdown from the people who have been on the ground floor of cannabis business in Michigan and gain insights into where the industry may be heading. Welcome to the Smoke and Rope Podcast. Today is episode 20, and it's the day before Thanksgiving, Green Wednesday. A lot of sales going on today. Exciting. The industry could use it a little bit. But today on our show, we have my business, partner in some aspect, good friend, and just a great guy in general. Excited to have him on, Russ Chambers. Thanks, Russ, for being on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited I actually made it on.
Yeah. There's a lot of, no. Yeah, no, you earned your way on.
Thank you.
So, over and Russ is in Lansing and, right now, by the airport. And then there's, my, two co-hosts, Kevin over at True Cannabis, also in Lansing. Kevin, what do you got planned for Thanksgiving?
Not much. We're going to hunker down, me and my girlfriend and our daughter, and just take it easy, have some turkey, watch some Lions football, probably catch a nap, eat some more turkey. You know how it goes, for sure.
Yeah, any RSO or edibles?
Oh, for sure. I probably have a few gummies for the football game. That always helps me with my mood, especially rooting for the Lions.
Yeah, only good thing about that, I got Deshaun Watson going against them, so I'll win either way.
Yeah.
But Tom Beller up in Real Leaf Solutions had a little incident this morning, but made it in just in time. What's happening in Kalkaska, and what are you up to tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I'm going to follow Kevin's schedule of hanging out at home with the family, big dog pile too, and eat some turkey, and maybe I'll watch some Lions if I want some diarrhea and indigestion, but it's tough being a Lions fan. It's going well up here, man. Another beautiful day. And Russ, a nice bush behind you, man.
Oh, thank you. So I'm here at our provisioning in Lansing, and we're going to live stream our grow to all the stores. So, people can see the care that goes into the plants. So it's kind of cool, don't you think?
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. There's a lot of misting in the background right now. It's awesome. So, with that, I love it. Little show and grow. I want to introduce Russ just a little bit more, like I do every show with our guests. And so Russ is the owner and president and also operator of Franklin Fields, which you can see in the background of his screen right now. It's a 32,000 square foot grow right next to the airport in Lansing. And he's actually in the new botanical center there that's connected to it. It's a vertically integrated spot. That'll be opening around December 15th on the north side of Lansing. I'm real excited about. But he's also owner and president of a botanical company, which is in Tawas, currently been open for over a year, doing great. And then also Go Greener. It's a lawn maintenance construction company, all types of stuff. So with that, I met Russ about 5 years ago. It's been that long. And walked by him the first time, wasn't supposed to talk to him, so it was a little awkward. We laugh about it now, and became friends first. Started hanging out a little bit, and Russ was good to me. He introduced me to some business contacts that allowed me to get my feet wet in the commercial real estate industry, getting out of prison. So I was real thankful for that. And then I was at the time working with had helped start Happy Life and Cannalicious and those companies, and Russ was in my ear the whole time saying, the minute that they screw you over, come work with me, come work, and I heard that from him about 100 times, so he must have known something. So minute it happened, I got a hold of Russ and actually myself, Jamie Lowell, and our other buddy Tom Reef, and we helped get the first botanical company going up there in Tawas, and it's been wonderful from there. So I'm excited because this Franklin Fields, those plants you can see behind you there, that's about half of those are going to be under the Redemption brand. So that is exciting as well for me. And I'm really happy with that. And, Russ has been one of the guys that has been able to transition from the regular business world into the cannabis space without everybody thinking, you know, he's a douche or he's, you know, all the things that we think about some of the people entering. So you navigated that well, Russ. But with that, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you grew up, you know, like how you ended up from, you know, your career led you here. And then we got some more questions.
Okay, yeah, great. I grew up downriver. So finished high school in Roselle. And after graduation, I moved to Lansing. I went to community college for a couple of years, tried that, had a hard time with it. So I quit going to school and started swinging a hammer. And, you know, it was really interesting. All my friends were graduating college, going to law school, and, you know, getting their careers up and running. And I just figured work hard and be a good person and good things will happen. So, you know, did that for 8 years. Finally decided to go back to college when I was 28. So I went back to Central Michigan University. And at the time, my stepdad, he was really encouraging me to go back to college. And he said, just go back to college and work for me part-time. And I said, oh, that sounds good. So started working for Dimmer Corporation and going to school full-time. And I didn't realize the culture at Dimmer was part-time is 50 hours a week. So did that. Took me 5 years to get through college. And in between that, I always had a passion for construction. Finished carpentry. So I started a company doing construction. You know, it was myself and a couple other guys, and it just kind of took off. You know, the first year, I think we did a couple hundred thousand dollars in business. And then the second year, we did $800,000-$900,000. So we kind of grew quick. Mm-hmm. Just surrounding yourself with good people, you know, people that are honest and want to work hard with you. Kind of the story behind my success. And you know, then I became a caregiver in 2000, I think 14, 15. And with my buddy, Matt Mooney, who is our head grower here now. And just, you know, Matt kind of taught me about how to grow marijuana. And it was really interesting and it became a passion, you know. And I said, wow, we can do this. Let's do this at the commercial level. And geez, 5 years ago, we started talking about it and it was a dream and we just started slowly working at it. And here we are, you know, ready to, the grow's open and operating and the Lansing stores, you know, opening on the 15th of December, we're hoping, depending on how this COVID stuff plays out. Mm-hmm. But even, you know, going through the competitive app in Lansing, that was definitely bittersweet. Got denied a couple times, appealed. And at the end of it, they gave us one of the first 20.
Yeah, that's, I remember those days. Didn't think it was going to happen. So now it's about to. It's fun having those wins for all of us that have been out there trying to get places to opt in. And then, we talked about Tavis a little bit and talked about, Lansing, why don't we lead right into as we got Tim Beller here as well, myself, Tom and Krista Beller, and then you know, you and your brother, we're all partners up in the new Kalkaska spot that's going to be the rec store and medical dispensary is about to open as well, hopefully beginning of the year, and then about the lounge. So tell us a little bit about that, and then
you know, I don't like, so we've got Tawas, Lansing, and Kalkaska soon. And I don't like to pick favorites, but I think Kalkaska is definitely going to be one of my favorite spots. You know, the building that we got, it was built, you know, it's over 100 years old.
It's the old opera house.
Yeah, it's the old opera house. It's a beautiful building, exposed brick.
Yeah, it is.
It's got 10 ceilings. And, you know, designing the lounge and the store, we tried to keep true to the Kalkaska, the style of the building. And it's working, you know, and people are embracing us. Even, you know, my construction company is up there working and we get people stopping in all the time asking us, when are you guys going to be open? When are you going to be open? You know, so it seems like we've got excitement behind it. And obviously having Tom and Ryan, I mean, I do the easy stuff, you know, get the licensing done and get the stores built out. But I'm so excited to open these stores and have us all you know, kind of celebrate up there, Christmas parties, and we've come a long way, you know. So.
Yeah, for sure. I got a follow up, and I know and Kevin and Tom are anxious to ask a couple questions, but so you've been able to do it. You mentioned, you know, me and Tom's been around forever. We're involved with different projects you have. And then you also got Jamie Lowell, who everybody knows. And, you know, now Danielle Bersanos, Ross Bersanos. And then, you know, people that have been around, activists, you've been able to merge that. And what was your strategy behind that? And, you know, and I do tell people, I was like, yeah, Russ and Brian and everyone, they actually listen to the marijuana guys. So it's fun. So tell me a little bit about your strategy.
I mean, it's smart business. It's, you know, we, you know, you guys are the professional when it comes to that, with that side of the business, you know, and it obviously shows through even in Tawas. Our store is up there. It's kicking butt. And I think the reason behind that is obviously the culture we built. I think customers go in there and they can immediately feel that the bud tenders are knowledgeable. They know what they're talking about. They're not doing hard sales at all. Mm-hmm. They're just there to inform the customer. And I think people appreciate that. I don't think people want to go somewhere where it's going to be a hard sale and they're trying to push certain flowers or edibles. They want the information and they want to make the decision. And I think it's shown through. I think the culture we built with the people that understand the marijuana business and the products and all the knowledge shines through.
Well, I also noticed that with having Jamie Lowell on board too, a focus on the history of the struggle of cannabis prohibition and what it's taken to get here and the people that have been involved, having that knowledge too of where we came from, added to knowledge about cannabinoid profiles and terpenes and how everything works together, that type of education at that level is really what's going to bring people back. You know, it's not a matter of, you know, what's fire on the shelf today. Of course, that's always, you know, what people are going to be looking at. But really, we have a vast majority of people in the marketplace that don't have that knowledge and they need it in order to make an informed decision on what's right for them as far as cannabis goes. So, you know, I really appreciate that detail that goes into it. And I know as we open up Kalkaska and start training people, I'm really excited to get, you know, my hands in there and dig in. And it's really great to see that type of care taken at that level. So, you know, kudos to you and your team on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you're part of the team, so thank you too. But even with newer customers, you know, the more we can educate these people and help them have the right experience, you know, because obviously if somebody has a bad experience the day one or day five, they're not going to want to come back to it, you know, and sitting down with people and telling them, you know, this here affects everybody a little different, you know, start off slow, wait, if it's an edible, you know, give it, if it doesn't kick in 45 minutes, wait a little longer, you know. You know, the terpene profiles, absolutely. A lot of people think, well, the THC levels it's like a proof on the alcohol. And that's, you know, it does play an effect to it, but that's not all that is involved with that. So just educating people on how it works for you or certain other people is different.
Correct.
Hey, Russ, this is Kevin over at True Cannabis. You know, you talk about the dispensaries and the business model. I saw the dispensary here in Lansing, I guess it would have been last week with Jamie Lowell. The place looks amazing. I love the little stand you have there, like Tom was talking about, to give you information about the different strains and to do your kind of pre-shopping. I think that's really cool. My question was about the consumption lounge. This is going to be one of the first ones coming on board in the state. And when I first originally thought thought about the consumption lounge. I had a hard time wrapping my head around, you know, how is this going to operate and how is this going to be able to function as a business? You know, it's kind of like the Facebook or Instagram when they came on, they had a bunch of users, but then had to figure out how to monetize it. So I guess my question is to you, when you do roll out the consumption lounge, what's the game plan? How is that going to operate and how can you make it a successful business?
Yeah, you know, it's still obviously really new to us, too. I mean, we're still trying to wrap our heads around it. You know, and we've talked to groups out of California that have and are operating consumption lounges. And they brought up some really good points on things we didn't even think of. And obviously, they didn't think of it either until they started operating. But, you know, they get people that pass out either because they're kind of new to it and they overdo it. And, you know, there's a responsibility on our end there. If we do have people that are unconscious, what do we do with them? We have to make sure that they're medically okay, you know. So we're in the process of writing procedures. If things like this happen, first things that, you know, step one, you know, do they need medical attention, you know, and so on and so forth. So we're still working through these things. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, but we just want to make sure that everybody has a good experience and has fun, but we want to also make sure people are being safe and looked after if there is an issue.
Well, you know, I actually really like that answer because you didn't even answer my question and you went to something again I didn't even think about, which is the medical thing and taking care of the people. You know what I mean? And yeah, that's where your mind goes. And I totally appreciate that. That's super respectable.
Yeah. So one of the things on that, Kevin, since, you know, myself and Tom are involved and Krista, Tom's wife's working hard on it as well as on the lounge idea, because I'm so excited, like most of us, for a lounge. It's been a dream of mine ever since I went to Amsterdam when I was 22. And I just kept going back because I wanted to go to the lounges. And, you know, if you got the same ownership in a store that's connected to a lounge, that goes pretty well because you're going to get a lot more customers coming into your store based on having a lounge right there and ordering. But then there's a lot of things planned, whether it be, you know, brand launch parties, private parties, all different types of events and things of that nature, and even advertising, and then trying to turn this lounge. Because if we did open at the beginning of the year, we'd be the first state licensed lounge in the history of really the world east of the Mississippi, United States. So that's, I make it all big and glamorous, but it's the truth. And that's not taking anything away from the other lounges that have been operating in Michigan. I love them. I'm saying state licensed. So we will, on Russ's point about the people passing out, and a lot of the lounges that we have now in Michigan that I go to and everything, people are into cannabis and know they're cannabis. And, you know, it's not for the faint of heart walking in there. This is a lounge where we're going to make people feel like they maybe even barely ever smoked. It's what happened in the Lowell Cafe and the Cannabis Cafe out there, Russ was mentioning, where people came in and they tried more. They barely ever tried cannabis and then they lose it. So it's a different world that we didn't think about because we just think everyone, you know, so it's exciting there. I think there will be. And then we've had great conversations with the MRA too. And their goal is definitely to, you know, make it a viable business for anyone that wants to do it. So that's my long-winded answer there.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's difficult to figure out how to monetize something like the lounge just as a pure business model, right? Because it's you're not really selling anything there. Most of it's coming from the provisioning center next door, but you have, like Ryan was saying, the opportunity to rent the place. You know, merchandising and things of that nature, but really it exists just for the pure sake of existing and creating a safe space for people to come and enjoy cannabis. And the steps that it takes to get there, you know, having, you know, planning for the worst and hoping for the best when it comes to having the general public in your licensed facility, and having to manage, like, how much is too much, you know, managing people's edible doses. Like, you can't sit there and control how much people take of an edible. You can suggest, if they bring it in, they're allowed to eat it. But, you know, it's really, there's a lot to think about when it comes to these types of things. And I think it all stems back to that whole educational aspect that is the root of, you know, the botanical company and, you know, really what we all believe in. And so that's going to be a big part of it. And rolling that out, yeah, especially in COVID, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, to factor into opening something that's never been opened before. So working close with the state is a big part of it, and having open communication with the MRA and making sure that we're doing everything we possibly can, you know, is crucial. It's crucial to opening up a lounge at this point. So uncharted territory.
And Tom, I think you hit the nail right in the head too. You know, the business model for the lounge is, we're going to be happy to break even, but that's okay. You know, we're all passionate about opening this up and have people having a good time. But that being said, too, we don't want an atmosphere where we've got people in there working, harping over people. Are you taking too much? You can't take any more. I mean, that takes the fun out of it. What we can do is educate people. You know, make sure that they do understand their doses and what they're taking. So, you know, to create the environment we want, it's 100% educating our customers, and we don't want to rule over them, you know, at like a bouncer at a club.
Right.
So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, for sure. Safe and social.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good, Russ. I got a quick question for you. It's about to grow. You know, it's state of the art. It's impressive. Been into a lot of them. I got the custom water filtration, everything else. Tell me about the process of this grow. You're a builder, so you had the advantage of building and having a crew still. A lot of ups and downs. You know, walk us through kind of the start to the finish, how you got here, and, you know, what the difference between the caregiver grow to now this thing.
Okay, so kind of funny story. It's obviously a big difference from 72 plants to 4,000 or 5,000 plants. And I don't know if you guys ran into this, but it seems like everybody that had plants in their basement was an expert. You could design and operate a big facility. I kind of stepped back and thought about it. Why don't we go, you know, to Denver and let's do some tours. I'd like to see some places, some commercial grows and how they operate. So yeah, I think it's, 3 years ago, we went out there and we did a bunch of tours, and I remember going through a couple places, and this was back when Colorado's market was like $800-$900 a pound. So it's something we get to look forward to here in Michigan in a couple of years, I guess. So I went out there and actually met up with Threolite, and they actually have a consulting company. So I was just really impressed with their operation. And I kind of signed up with these guys, and they helped consult on the design of our building, and you know, how we're going to operate to the nutrients we're going to use and all that fun stuff. And it was a delight working with these guys, because these guys have been out there doing this for 10 years. So I got the building designed, and then the fun part started. We broke ground. You know, I would have had the building done in 9 months, but because of the COVID shutdown in the spring, it took just a little bit over a year. So I'm kind of proud of that. So we got her done, and got our inspections done. That was fun. And gosh, about 2-3 weeks ago, we started moving plants over. Had some hiccups with metric. You know, we ordered our metric tags and didn't order the receiving tags. So we were sitting there like, well, I guess we had to wait 2 more days to get those tags from them to bring over our clones. So finally got those.
You're supposed to be free. Remember when those tags were supposed to be free? Just pay shipping and handling. I remember.
How much they cost?
I mean, I don't know what they are for provisioning centers. Ours are like, you know, 50 cents a piece, but they add up.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Russ,
one per clone? Is that one tag per clone, or how does that work?
It's one tag per batch. So when you bring a batch over, if you have one strain or 100 strains, it's one per batch. So then you use that to receive it. You bring it in there, and then you tag it with the metric tags.
Gotcha. So when I got my license, I was already operating. So I was a temporary operator. So I just moved my stuff into metric. So I wasn't aware of how it's going to work when I do open this next facility. So that's interesting.
Yeah. When you're in metric, there's two options. So when you order your tags, there's another box under that. Make sure you click on that and order your receiving tags with it.
Cool. Thanks for the pointer.
The package tags. Yeah, that's nice. That's relatively new. When we first were licensed in February of 19, we didn't have that. You didn't have to tag your clone batches, but now you do.
Yeah, because when I went through the training, you know, that training for metric, it was, you know, a year and a half ago. So it wasn't a part of it.
Right.
Hey Russ, when we walk through the grow and people take tours, it's always, you know, they're impressed, but then they always kind of, people I've been with always get wowed and excited, especially if they're into building or engineering into your water filtration system. Do you want to mention that at all, or is that a top secret?
No, we can talk about it. That's my favorite part of the building. Kind of funny too, because you know, in the original plan, it was spec'd out for, you know, precast tanks that we were going to use, electric pumps that we're going to have toggle switches on, and you'd switch one on and it'd push, you know, the RO water would fill up one tank and then you'd pump it over to the next tank that would get pumped to the room. But, you know, with Brian Gruber and I, he has a friend in Grand Ledge that has a company that builds water tanks for fire departments and industries and Lansing, you know, that have these big sophisticated water tanks. So we went and met with them, and they were so excited to be a part of designing this stuff too. You know, about a month and sitting with them, telling them what we needed it to do. They designed a system for us that works perfectly. And the cost, I think, was probably 10 to 15% more than what we were going to do originally. So it wasn't that bad. And it's automated. So it will be fully automated in the future when we can start cash flowing a little bit here. But as of now, the computer tells the RO when to turn on and off, fills the tanks up, pushes the water to the other tanks. Right now, the guys have to mix in, you know, manually mix in the nutrients, and then the computer mixes everything up and then pushes it to that room that needs to be watered. And right now, we're hand watering from the rooms. But eventually, the computer will dose the tanks, will push the water to the rooms, and we'll be able to dose each plant. The computer will dose each plant and pretty much be automated, which is nice because then we can track, like, why did this flower room do better than this room? We can see exactly what went into that room. You know, right now, there's error when people do things. So let's say a room does better. Well, we don't understand because we don't know exactly, well, this is what, this is the nutrients that went into it and the amounts. But is it? We don't really know that. So right. I'm really looking forward to that.
Very cool.
So talking about growing, Russ, your brand is Franklin Fields. What can we expect from Franklin Fields, and what strains are you guys rocking these days?
That's to be announced. Kind of a teaser, you know?
Okay, proprietary info. Didn't mean to pry.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I got my my marketing person in here, and she gave me the look. But we're gonna announce that probably in a couple more weeks. You know, our first run, we're hoping the end of January. And, you know, once we're ramping up the facility right now. So once that happens, we'll be finishing our flower room. Our flower rooms have 36 lights in each room. We have 8 finished right now. There will be 12. But once the first room finishes, we'll be on a schedule of every 8 days finishing a flower room, you know, so.
Where does the name Franklin Fields come from? What's that all about?
Okay, well, kind of a long story. So we're right off of Grand River, and originally Grand River was Franklin's Trail. So we kind of adopted Franklin Fields from Benjamin Franklin, and I love all his quotes. He's got some great quotes, and yeah. that's where that came from.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's I like all that. Hey, I you know, I'm seeing behind you, Russ, as workers. Made me think, what how'd the hiring process go? Where did you find a lot of the staff? Is because it's a, you know, we're in Lansing and there's a lot of grows, a lot of businesses, and it's going to just keep coming. So the talent pool is maybe thinning out a lot. How'd that go?
It actually went really well. In my construction business, I've been trying to hire commercial carpenters for 2 or 3 years, and we'll get one here and there, but it's been real tough. So I was concerned for here. So we put an ad up on Indeed. Currently right now, I think we have 10 or 15 employees over there now, and we're ramping that up as we get fully loaded over here. We put an ad up on Indeed, and we had to take it down in 24 hours because we had 150 people apply. And everybody that applied set up an interview. I think we had one person not show up for an interview. And I'm used to setting up 20 interviews for a day and having 4 people come, you know? So we got a good group of people, a really good group of people. They're very excited. Every time I walk back there, everybody's smiling. So it's contagious, you know? The culture here is contagious. So I'm really looking forward to adding more staff and, you know, seeing the impact it's having on our employees.
What's going on with the opening for the store there for Lansing? When is it? I know I mentioned December 15th. It's been a little bit of a moving target, like it is for everybody. What are the plans?
Well, you know, we're planning on December 15th to be opened. We got our licenses, so we're medical and recreational, and we're starting to take delivery of inventory. We took our first delivery yesterday, but we're shooting for the 15th. 95% confident in that. I don't think we're going to do anything big and grand for an opening just because of the COVID, era. So, might just kind of be a soft opening until we understand what we can and can't do with COVID.
Yeah.
We don't want to put anybody in jeopardy of our customers or our employees.
Of course. I got a good, something I'm curious about as I've watched it happen. You know, I've been speaking at meetings for 11 years now and watched the gradual change in people's attitudes about cannabis. And a lot of it is really good people. It's just the education process. So I know early on, maybe your family didn't want anyone to know what you were doing or keeping it quiet. And now it seems to be like, you know, people are proud and everyone's on board. What's that been like and how did that happen?
My family and, you know, our attorneys, they're of that age of reefer madness. So I got a lot of no's for the first 6 months. And even I think the first no I got was, what do you know about growing marijuana? And that's when I decided to become a caregiver. So I became a caregiver. And then 6 months later said, hey, can I do this? And I know a lot about marijuana now. But then it was like, well, you can do this, but, you know, we just want to keep it on the down low. We don't want anybody to know. But a part of that, too, was, educating my parents. And I think the biggest part of that was the benefit for these kids that are having seizures with CBD and THC. And just showing them, like, look at these families moving from, you know, uprooting their family and they're quitting their jobs and moving to states that allow this. Getting these kids off of benzoids, you know, which is Valium, basically, heavy doses of that, which they have to be weaned off. They have to go to rehab for that. And then getting them on CBDs and THC that, they're having 2 or 3 seizures a day to not having, you know, a seizure for a month, 2 months, 3 months. And I think when my parents looked into it and understood the medical benefit, they jumped right on board. But I do, I do have one thing too. The past year has been great. Originally I had accountants that I've been using for 10 years, bow out. A lot of people say they didn't want anything to do with it. And it's gotten so much better. But recently I had somebody, one of my vendors that I've used a lot, tell me he doesn't want anything to do with marijuana and he refused a big job. And I couldn't believe it. You know, and he's like, my sister-in-law had a problem with marijuana and
trying to run out. In.
I know.
And it's the only problem I got.
You know, trying to explain to like this isn't going to lead to heavy drug use. You know, that's right. You know, people that go down that road, that's a mental, you know, that's a mental health problem. That's not because somebody decided to smoke a joint.
Right.
And if you're not gonna understand or want to understand that, you're not going to help anybody.
Well, it goes beyond that. I mean, that we have a mental health crisis in this country as it stands. You know, we stopped paying attention to that, thinking that that was, you know, people's mental health doesn't matter. But we know now more than ever, 2020 COVID, you know, it's very much about we need to keep an eye out for, you know, for each other, and anything is going to exacerbate a mental condition. But cannabis, we know, and the people that have that idea are few and far between. And it's exciting to see people turn around. You know, I had the same experience when I kind of told the family, hey, you know, we've got this thing going on up in Kalkaska, and it's, you know, everyone all of a sudden, oh, can we invest in it? We're like, oh, let's pump the brakes, you know. Right. Let's. I remember just 6 months ago, you know, but for some people, it was just making it legal for adult use, too. For some people, we're just like, oh, well, it's legal now, so now it's okay. It's like, okay,
but whatever it takes. Tom, it's crazy too. It's like, I like to pull up the stat. It's like, you know, these states that are coming online with medical marijuana, you know, we've got the data now, but every time a state adopts the program, within the first year, the opiate overdose deaths in that state go down between 18 to 32% in the first year. The first year. So what, I mean, isn't that a good thing?
It's awesome, and we need to be utilizing cannabis as a treatment for opioid addiction, for sure. I mean, it's proven time and time again. You know, it's time the government gets with it and just fixes it, and, you know, on with it. You know, we have a lot of healing to do, and, you know, this plant can help big time with that.
Yep. Oh, that, man, I just looked at the clock. I thought it had only been about 22 minutes. It's been 35, and I know some of these guys got a hard out at 2. So I wanted to just wrap it up here, and we always do some final thoughts and exit that way. Tom, over at Real Leaf, any final thoughts?
It's just awesome to see you, Russ, man. I can't wait till we get the hang out again, and, you know, we'll have the Smoke and Rope podcast broadcast from the Kalkushka Lounge. That'll be a beautiful day. In the meantime, keep on doing it, brother. Nice to see your bush.
All right, Kevin, Chew Cannabis, final thoughts.
Yeah, Russ, I just want to thank you for being on the show today. We appreciate having you on. You got a ton of stuff going on. I'm super excited for you guys. I'm just a tiny little bit jealous of all the cool stuff you got going on, but I know we'll get there too. But good luck with everything you got going on. I know you guys are doing the right thing with the way you guys do stuff. Glad to have met you and gotten to know you a little bit here in the last year or so. And yeah, keep it rolling, brother. You're doing good.
Thank you.
And Russ, anything you want to say to us or the listeners before we head out to Thanksgiving?
You know, one of my favorite things about this industry is, too, it's people like you guys. I mean, you know, Ryan and I met 5 years ago, but introducing me to Tom and Kevin, even Drew. I mean, I've made some, not only business partners, I made some good close friends. And it's exciting because it's hard to do that when you're older and working a lot. So it's nice to have you guys, and I appreciate everything. And thanks for having me on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I know. Thank you for being on. I know we've got some avid listeners over there in the Grow. I got Justin Seeley and Matt Mooney and the whole crew that are probably excited to hear their name. So
for sure.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, but, tell Matt he's doing a great job. Those plants look pretty darn good awesome, to me. Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he knows.
All right, then maybe don't tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but with that, you
tell
know,
tell him to I add some Kel-Mag. That's good.
I want to sign off here, and I had a good conversation yesterday with a longtime friend and activist, Jamie Fricke, and we talked and reminisced about the last 10 years and all the stuff we've been through. And she made a good point. She's just like, look, people asked her, are you mad that you did all this work and now people are coming in and taking it over? And she's like, no, that's why we did it, was so other people could have this chance, this access. You know, we just want to be able to play and participate. So that's kind of what I think about, made me think about that and think about Russ, the good people coming in the cannabis, doing it right, respecting the tradition, working with like people like ourselves. It's awesome. That's why we did it. We weren't doing it for 100 of us or anything like that. So that attitude is important. Love what's going on and the synergy. And it's good to combine all our brains and resources and love of the plant and keep taking on the big fellas, the big guys, and let's keep this going. So with that, everyone have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week.
See you, Ryan. See you guys.
See ya.
The Smoking Rope Podcast is produced and hosted by me, Ryan Basor, the owner of Redemption Cannabis. Have ideas for episode topics or would like to be a guest on the show? Contact us at ryanb@redemptioncanna.com. Thanks for being along for the journey.